Now you see, each heart which rises has its own smell and its own color. It is restless as you follow that. The lusty thought has a bad odor, like that you get the odor from the flock of sheep. Anger, angry man, you see, anger, who is just taken all wrath, he will just taste, just smell his own, just like some cloth is burning, you see. A very greedy man, you smell his body, you just smell his own, just like a fish. So each heart has its own smell and its own color as well, you see. Loving thoughts have got bluish color. How the personal are radiating from the man. Spiritual man has his golden light color. How the aura. So like that. Now what Guru Amar Das says, well, look here, I was just like it. There's an ark, I don't know what is called it here. Huh? Cactus. That is smelled very bad, you see. Then I was something smelling out like cactus, but now I am just a perfume, you see. Very sweet. That's like people are telling you. They don't use any of this, bombs or anything that thing. Simple smelling of their body, you just smell their body, you just have the sweet fragrance of the jet, you see. All thoughts have their own color and their own smelling. He says, I was sometimes like that, now I am a different man altogether. You see the case? We are using so much, excuse me, these things of dialect, I think millions of dollars are being spent on that. If you go into spiritual, the way of spirituality, you are a pure thought, you will change, your whole body will change. Yes. Now he says, well, you people have got the body of a man, the highest in all creation. Just reach it. True prophet of life. You see? And what is that? Know yourself, know God. How will you get that in? When you sit at the feet of some master who gives you some initiation to go ahead, how to leave the body, then give you a contact with it. They said, well, this is the highest mission, aim of a man's life. If you have done that, you have just reached the full fruit of your man's life. If not, you have lost your life. That is why I said, what does this prophet of man, Zevia, you remember, in the Roman days? In Europe, there was a court held each year in which such a man was just installed as president, and there was a conference, I mean, there, and all men used to go over there just to put questions and get replies. And Xavier, one of the very wide awake men, I would say, in the way of spirituality, he went over there and put questions. Do you know who you are? What are the prophet a man? If he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul. You see? This was the question put to the head of the conference over there, and he said, well, yes, and I do not know. He had heard it. Then when he was put on the way, I understand that his bones are still lying in India in some of the cathedrals over there. You follow my point? Why? In the body of a man in which soul lived, that soul reached God, experienced God within that holy temple of body he had, the very remains of the holy body are respected. The remains of Buddha were found in Burma, the east of India. and very, the forward men of India went out to receive those remains, and then a special temple being built for keeping those bones. You remember why? Because that body lived a soul which realized higher life. So with realization of higher life, your body will become irrespective even after you. Wherever such people sat, those places became the places of pilgrimages for you. I remember I found in Bombay, in the west of India, I found out a man that who has got one hair of the mustache of Prophet Muhammad. You see? He's keeping in a casket of emeralds and jewels. Why that respect is? Because in that body lived a soul who spoke of God. And inspired by God. Of course there are stages of development inside. You see? But to whatever stage they advance, we have respect for each one of them. Because they advance ahead, they are to be respected by us. So I am just telling all these things to show that if in your this body, if you contact God, your very body will be respected. The place you live in, that will become a place of pilgrimage, you see. That is what he is saying. You have got the body of a man, please make the best use of it. Reap the best harvest out of it, you see. And what is that? You must understand the true profit of life, true value of life, which I gave out only the day before yesterday. Know yourself, know God. Otherwise, you lose your life. Yes. Tell me, in song is fortunate, man is fortunate, because he is the highest realm, which is the place where even the angels were asked to pay homage, you see. Great is man. But there's one thing more, if as a man, you got a body of man, and you meet some master also, had a good fortune to see, just meet, sit at the feet of some real master, and he just gives you contact with the world within. You see? You are the most fortunate in the whole world of all. To have a body of a man is a great fortune, you see? But to have, when you have the body of a man, you meet, have the chance, just afforded an opportunity to sit at the feet of some real master, and he gives you a context of the divine world within you, you are the most fortunate in the world. You see what he says? Because you see why? He was searching after it for long 70 years of age. Could not find that thing what he got when he sat at the feet of Guru Angad, the second master of the sixth. He says those who are given up to the sensuous life under the control of mind, well, they have lost their lives, you see. They have frittered away their human life, the most valuable of all creation. Manmukh bhule viklave. And they are frittered in their life. They have been only engaged in the outward enjoyments, not knowing who they are, not entering the kingdom of God which is within each one of us, not going ahead to reach the true home. Such people have just frittered away the most valuable life as a man which they had. If they are not there, be enjoying, engaged in the outward enjoyments, or physical enjoyments, or intellectual enjoyments only, not known that themselves, not the old selves, they have just lost the game, you see. If and when you get the body of the man, only then you can do that. No other form of creation.
Yes.
That is that true name of the Lord, or word of God, is peace-giving, bliss-giving, ineffable state. But those who are engaged in the enjoyments of the sensuous life, they don't pay any heed whatsoever to that. They simply celebrate the property, use of, in return of 2 pies fed. This is what you remember. Rabindranath Tagore, a man of international fame, he says in his Gitanjali, the wonderful book for which he got Nobel Prize, he says over there, look here, O God, he prays to God, O God, I know there's most valuable thing lying in me, and that you are, but I cannot cast away the filth of the body to come up to you and see you. Though there was something of the beyond these things, just seen quite in secret. Guru Ram Das, old master of the Sikhs, say at one place, if you just amass, collect all the valuable treasures of the world, gold, rubies, emerald, silver, and every valuable precious thing of the world at one place, and if you are somebody who has got a little bit taste of the beyond, ask yourself, please, will you accept this thing in return of what you have got? What will he do? He will not even dare to look at the wealth of the world. Pity is that we have no experience of it here. How can we say all that? Masters did give me the path, just they were bringing out all these things to us, giving some examples of the world, the enjoyment, taste of the enjoyment of which we have in life, but that has no comparison to that hardness we did. Still we are not conscious. That is the peace, joy, bliss, permanent joy, I'll say, permanent bliss, intoxicating bliss, ineffable. If you once taste that thing, you will live or fall out of it. Naturally, it will fall away from your mind. To have that treasure within you, you have all that treasure within you, and those who are given up to sensuous life, they care not a fig for this. They simply say, well, look here, you are not fit for our society. Go away. Now Guru Amardas says, when I see everywhere all men just reciting and repeating the names of God. Some are saying God, some saying O Allah, some saying O Vahidu, Prabhu, so many names are saying of God which we are only given out by the masters who came to him. God has got no name. He's a nameless man. You see, these names were given only by the saints who came in the past, that's all. But he is something which these names do not express. He says, everybody will see that they are repeating the names of God, but don't contact the power which is God, you see. How can they be at peace? How their thirst for life can be quenched? How their hunger can be appeased? And that, the bread of life, you see. That is the water of life, what Christ referred to. Well, I will give you a water, you see, which you drink, your thirst will be quenched forever. Is it? ingredients, bread of life, is only one word for satisfied, you see. I am the bread of life. If you eat out of it, you will have an everlasting life. Just see, teachings are the same. Pity it is that there are practical people who have brought a personal experience of this, who are competent in this way, and can give you an experience thereof. I told on the first day to express that it, to understand the true thoughts of the teaching given out by the saints is not difficult, but it has been made difficult by the utterings of those who have got no personal experience of that life. They have created so many doubts, it is like some say that way, some say that way, so many just interpretations before us by the, given out by the people who have got no excess insight. Naturally, people only hear or learn these things, we say which is correct or not. I am why just quoting references from all scriptures, not all I say, but scriptures from all scriptures, just to show you the teachings are one, not two. All saints who gave me the power, they are the same thing to teach. And that is lying in you, not in the book. Book give a statement thereof. That you would have to study within your own self to find that out. True Veda, true Bible, true Granth, true Quran is your, this body you are carrying. Just step in and see what is what you say. Master, wherever they came, just they directed you inside. He knew God within you. They never said you it is outside the books and everywhere. We do respect the Holy Scriptures, all the saints who gave me the power. We are love and adoration for all saints who gave me the power. Because they put the humanity on the way back to God. Their scriptures are holy because it is, these were given out by those masters who reached God, who were prototype of God, and as I will say, so who were the mouthpiece of God. That is why we have respect for the Holy Scriptures too. For that reason, suppose if anybody now turns up with that experience with the gave out and can give you an experience now, will you now have a respect for him naturally? But such men never say they are so. They simply say, I am a man just like you. Your better. Guru Amardas says, well, I was just a man like you, you see. But I got something at the feet of my master. I'm giving out that. There's hope for each one of you. No, Guru Amardas ends his saying, he says, that power about which the masters who came in the past gave out, and though that power which is spoken out in the Holy Scriptures, that is within you, you are only repeating the names given to that power by the saints who came to the past, but do not contact that power which is already in you, well, you are nowhere. If you just take a further step, you say God, and you take a further step, to contact that power which is expressed by the word of God, you are most fortunate. You take a further step, I you see. This is what Guru Amardas gives from his own life history, of his own experience, you see, what he had in his life, and by comparative studies of religions, we see that it is the same truth, you see, which all masters who came in part gave out. We are not to change our social bodies for that purpose, my sir. Remain where you are. Masters never come to change the social bodies. They just come to
upholding body. But they say, look here, you have lost something, you have forgotten something, which is already in your holy scriptures, which was given out by the Master to take in the path, you have forgotten that. Just understand your scriptures. Did not Christ say that he opened their understanding to just follow the right amount of the scriptures they have with them? With the opening, they opened your understanding. You see now my comparative study, quite unbiased I am listening before you, by quotation from the various scriptures, I know a bit thereof, just to show that the truth is one. The kingdom of God is within you. Each one of us is destined, can go within, inward within, to find that kingdom which is already in you. You won't find it outside. And that with the help of somebody who has found that kingdom in himself already. That's a practical question, you know. So this is only one thing. I think it's now time over. I need not take another scripture. The same thing is given out by other saints who came to the bar. I told you that is a long subject, no doubt. In a short time at my disposal, I've just been to give you some instances to show what is what. So this is today's subject, and tomorrow we'll simply say, well, how to contact that divine power within. Well, we can get it by intellectual wrestling, by outward engagements. This will be tomorrow. And thereafter, I'll give you just a resume of the so many recipes, I would say, for finding God within you. And which of them is the most natural and the most quickest, you see, which even a child can do. That will be something of day after tomorrow. I'll just ask you one thing, dear friend. This is what I have given out that I have learned, experienced at the feet of my Master. You people here, about 50, 60 or 70 people sitting here, you are listening to that. Those who are interested in that, mind that, for whom you have got love, you know they are also interested in these things. You may make it a point for them also to use them. Come over here, there is something important you are having. Naturally, I have love for somebody and know from the door of certain very important thing and tell my relatives, my friends, well, look here, there is something on the way. If you are interested, let others know also. You see, what Christ said, you see, when the light was lit, that was not put under the bushel. Nobody put it under the bushel. Just place it at a place where others may see the light over there. Well, the world over is after this stroke. I'm not boasting, excuse me. My point is only what I have learned at the feet of my Master. That is what Christ said all his time. Go out in the world and tell the people there is truth in you, you see. Only for that reason. Whether the people who come or not, is their only. And these people here are 10,000. I have to repeat the same thing, tell the same thing. If more people interested in the way come to know of the thing which they are after in their lives, you see, that is also a sort of service you have to do to others. So tomorrow subject I have told you, and the day after, two important, more important subjects even as compared with the last three, because that is the fruit of the tree we just speak of tomorrow and the day after.
I think it is raining and over you. Go, if somebody has any special question, ask him to please to answer for 5 minutes.
Well, dear friend, take him as a man first, you see. He sit at the feet, hear him what he says. If he gives out something which all masters have said, he speaks of the same thing. You can take it as an experimental measure to take a step that way. He says, all right, come above the body, he will give you first an experience, you come above the body. If you find him inside, also coming up to you and talking to you, guiding you, naturally you say you are not, the master is not body. You see, something higher power. When you further transcend on the way, you find the same power has been over there, you say, well, he is not a man. How that is a harmless one, I just give you an example. There is what you say, cloud, and there is rain, and there is something which is not yet formed into the cloud. That is a formless apparently. Cloud has got some form, but what is more materialized? Similarly, masters are the mouthpiece of God, they are the word personified. They are the God in action, power working at that pole. They are not embodied by that. They, whenever that power works at the pole of somebody, that is called as a teacher, as a master, something. But master has the body, not the body. That is what Christ said, I will never leave you till the end of the world. I there was for get thee and forsake thee. What is that? That body has left you. Excuse me. Every master came in the first day left us. But each one of them did promise, I'll be ever with you. So what was that which promised? That was not the body, but the Holy Ghost I will show now. The power of God speaking through him. That was the master, you see. And that is when works at a pole, it has got a form. When it does not work at a pole in half, when he takes that form, and ultimately he is one with God. Something like that, you may think. But it is a question of practical experience, I think. Even now, those masters appear to somebody in hell of light with it. Do you think they are ones? They are the light of God, they are the children of light when they appear in that form. We say they are that, but they are not the body. Once one Tulsidas, a master in the East, people said, well, look here, you say you are with the form and formless one, how it is? If the master likes, that's another thing. All that you catch, he said. They would catch him, they would, he could not be caught, because he simply transcended. So similarly, this is something like that. These things cannot be understood in full, I say, at the level we are now looking, but the possibility appears like that. But those who get in and see the master working with it, actually it is quite average, already experienced, isn't it? Then you see Christ, I mean John the Divine, what he gives in his experiences, revelations. He said, lo, the door was open. I saw the earth, someone sitting on a throne. He was all light as, just white as wool and as clouds. He's got some feet of the flesh and something like that. He gives something of that apparition of the master he had within, of the Christ. So if he could have that experience, even today, those who are coming in meditation in the Mahāyāna, they do accept that they see the form of the Master within. There is no new thing. I am simply quoting these things from the scriptures only to show you that these things are possible. And whenever any Master will meet you with that qualification, you will have an experience of him within. Pity it is that those who preach, who have been given this work of preaching, they have got no experience of themselves beyond what is written in the books only. They cannot reconcile statements because they have got no personal experience of that. In all social religions, I say, not only in one or the other, in all. That work is being carried out by paid service. So the people do it. Go on, because they have not seen, how can you show you the kings of the hereafter? Those who are kings, they will just give you an experience. When you dwell upon the way, you will have experience, several experiences that John the Divine had in his life, and they are having it. Those are attending the morning meditations, just alone at the place I am living.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the final 30 minutes of a talk given by Master in Washington, D.C. in June of 1955, and it was called How to Contact Divinity Within. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascone. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, David. Thank you. Today, I'll be reading from Master's book, Nam O Word, beginning with the beginning section, To the Honest Seeker. We have an Upanishadic text that tells us that truth is one, though sages have described it variously. But to define is to limit, and since truth, i.e. the whole truth, is illimitable, it, by its very nature, remains undefined. It is more a matter of inner experience and realization than of comprehension and apprehension on the intellectual level. The surest way to truth, says Henry Bergson, the great philosopher, is by perception, by intuition, by reasoning to a certain point, and then by taking a mortal leap. Again, true knowledge is the action of the soul and is perfect without the senses. Ben Jonson. The reality can neither be known by the senses nor by the mind, or by the intellect, nor by the vital airs that keep the physical frame both of the universe and the individual going. And again, man is a little world made cunningly of elements and angelic spirit, John Donne. He is a composite entity that unites in himself the physical, the subtle, and the causal principles, the body, mind, and supermind, and the soul. The one behind the other, the last one being the source of all life, the very life principle enlivening everything that lives. There is within the all-comprehending ambit of animal instincts some secret urge which drives the chosen few, called the elect, towards the transcending of the animal impulses, leading to complete disinterestedness by total disregard of the animal ego on the one hand, and willing submission to the self-sought death on the other. In spite of the strong opposition of the instincts, impulses, and ego arrayed against the inspired soul. There is a subtle communication between mystery and mystery, between the unknown soul and the unknown reality. And it is only at one particular point in the texture of life that the hidden truth seems to burst through the enveloping veils of ignorance. And this happens only when one is able to disimprison the soul from the facts of life. John Keats, the great romantic poet, speaks of this blissful state. Wherein lies happiness? In that which becks our ready minds to fellowship divine, a fellowship with essence, till we shine fully alchemized and free of space. The secret of truth then lies in the little great self in man, the self, the seemingly little thing of no consequence, neglected and cast aside, and almost lost in the mighty swirl of mind and matter. And yet a great thing, once it comes to its own after breaking through the prison bars of life, the senses, that keeps one enmeshed all the time. The inner man, or the spirit in man, is, therefore, to be freed from the tentacles of the outer man, consisting of matter and mind, before the self can rise in self-consciousness and become aware of the cosmic awareness. All this is a practical possibility by the process of self-analysis and withdrawal, and not a figment of the imagination as most of us think. As self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge, all the sages and seers have from time immemorial laid emphasis on Gnothi Sutton and Nasi Tipsum, as known among the ancient Greeks and Romans respectively. And to know oneself, one must detach oneself from the life of the senses. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he taught, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it." Thus one has to choose between two lives, the life of the senses and flesh on the one hand, and the life of the spirit and awareness on the other. For one cannot have both at the same time. And unless one is able to rise above body consciousness, one cannot make his or her choice between the two. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Guru Nanak has said, "Without actual transcendence of the spirit, the magic spell of the world dissolves not." This, then, is the way truth would or God would. Truth is one, says Nanak, and comes as a pure and simple gift from a master of truth. When we say one, that too is incorrect, for that means limiting the limitless and finitizing the infinite. Kabir, therefore, speaks of God or truth. If I say he is one, that too is inept. The idea of duality in him is but blasphemy. He is what he is, neither one nor the other, something, yet whole and self-contained. The number one is but a pointer and an index to the great being beyond numerology itself. Guru Nanak, speaking of truth, tells us, "Truth was when there was nothing. Truth was before ages began. Truth existeth now, O Nanak, and truth shall exist forevermore." Absolute truth is, of course, imageless, but when it came into being, its primal manifestations were the sound and the light principles, collectively called Nad in the Vedas, Ujit in the Upanishads, Sarosha in Zvend Vesta, the word in the Holy Gospels, Kalma in the Quran, Nam or Shabd in the Holy Granth, all signifying the twofold aspect of the divine nature or the creative life principle in nature. Nameless and devoid of all forms is he, and yet all names and forms are his. The great rishis and munis, we were told, had direct inner contact with truth or the Godhead within. To Moses was revealed the sacred precepts of the great Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. And in the midst of thunder and flame, signifying the two aspects of truth itself, the prophet Muhammad had to cut his way through the moon, Shakyuka Kamar. And as he ascended on the wings of lightning, the bark, Prince Siddhartha, when he contacted the light within, came to be known as Buddha, or the Enlightened One. Christ assured his followings of his true nature in no idle words. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And again, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Mysticism, says Dean Enge, is the core of religion, and language has no means of conveying the supersensual experiences of the mystics. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not, is the fate of the common man today. Man's spirit can return to God through deepest of man's conflicts and negations, and by total denial of his infinite being. A.C. Bradley. Walter de la Mer, in his dreams, gives us a glimpse. And once, from agony set free, I scanned within the womb of night, a hollow, inwoven orb of light, thrilling with beauty, no tongue could tell, and I knew it for life's citadel. Both soul and God live together in the holy temple of the human body, but alas, one has not known the other. But about the inborn relationship, St. Catherine tells us, God is in the soul as the soul is in God, and as the sea is in the fish and the fish is in the sea. But can we have this beatific vision? Yes, says the masters, and surely as two and two make four, feel we these things? That moment we have stepped into a sort of oneness, and our state is like a floating spirit. John Keats. To return to the point from which we began, namely that truth is infinite and can be only inwardly realized, and not mentally comprehended, let us touch upon the claims of science. Science, too, declares that it seeks to arrive at truth in an objective and a detached fashion, called the scientific way. And most of its adherents even go on to say science is the only means to truth, for mysticism and spiritual realization are two personal, too subjective, and too rare a phenomenon to be trusted. But can science really bring us to truth? Can we equate factual knowledge with truth? Does not truth imply a knowledge not only of the various objects composing the sum total of existence, but also their interrelations to the finest degree? And is it not this aspect of truth the more important one? Science, of course, does give us factual knowledge about objects and to some extent their interrelations as well. But science, at least at present, seems to be an endless process, the findings of today being outdated by those of tomorrow. And thus this picture of truth, whatever it may be, is an ever-shifting one. And in fact, it can never be a picture of truth, for truth in its very nature is changeless. The adherents of science fail to see this significant limitation of science, for they mistake knowledge for truth, and that if science is to be our only means to truth, then man can never hope to reach that goal. Looking on the other side of the picture, the side which we have already discussed, there is the incontroverted testimony of saints and the mystics who tell us that truth can be realized by man, and who go on to say that the pursuit of objective factual knowledge is a distraction from it. The poet speaks of intuitive moments when they feel the presence of spiritual unity behind the material diversity. And I have felt a presence that disturbs me with joy, of elevated thoughts, a sense sublime of something far more deeply interfused, whose dwelling is the light of the setting suns. And around the ocean, and the living air, and the blue sky, and in the mind of man, Wadsworth. While the mystics of all times and climes tell us with one voice that this inner reality or truth is not only a matter of intuition and feeling, but of actual supersensuous realization. And it is in this connection that the study of yoga, the Surachab yoga in particular, reveals its importance. It cannot, if we really seek the truth, afford to ignore spirituality, as so many modern thinkers have tended to do. For it is a highway to truth, and as suggested, perhaps the only highway to truth. It is in this context that an attempt has been made to explain in this book the basic concept, which of course is the same in spite of all the endless variety in nomenclature, of the various words used by masters to signify the wordless in his primordial manifestation. The life current creating, sustaining, and controlling the endless creation. The master says, my heartfelt thanks go to Sri Bhadrasena, especially for and others who took great pains in helping bringing about this work and spent many hours in this labor of love. Kirpal Singh. Naam or Word, Book 1. Introductory. Naam is easier said than known and practiced. It is only an adept in the mysteries of Naam who knows its true significance and the great power that lies hidden in it. Apparently, it is just a syllable. But what it connotes is beyond understanding, even by the most learned in book knowledge. Though it may be possible to apprehend it through the grace of one well-versed not only in the theory, but in practice as well of the word. Name and the named are, in fact, one and the same. There is hardly any distinction between the two. One is the abstract form of that which is concrete. Light cannot be separated from the sun. The two go together all the world over. Similarly, Godhood and God cannot be demarcated and set aside in watertight compartments as two separate entities. The former is just an attribute of the latter. Naam is nothing more or less than Godhood of God. And one may call it what one may like, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, etc. It is the primal manifestation of God, responsible for the entire creation. It is the primeval form of God, and St. John speaks of it thus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In these memorable words, St. John has tried to give us some idea of the marvelous nature of word or naam, as also called. It combines in it the triple principle of creation, sustenance, and destruction. The Trimurti of the Hindu mythology, of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the creator, the preserver, and the destroyer, respectively. All the three deriving their motor power from Godhood or God in action, Nam, or word. Hazrat Moadin Din Christi, in this context, says, name of the name are but one, light of Nam, light of name witnesseth his glory. All that is of and from Nam, for it pervades everywhere. It is the life principle of the entire creation. In whom this word or Nam becomes personified is called a saint, for it is said that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Such a one has reached the summum bonum of life and gained the El Dorado of human existence. For him, there is nothing more to wish for or aspire for. On the other hand, one who has not been able during his lifetime to establish a contact with Nam, at the time of death quits the body like a defeated gambler who leaves the gambling den with empty hands. Saint Kabir says, better by far a leper with weeping sores have established in Nam than a fine stalwart swan who knows not the value of Nam. The greatness of Nam and its need. The access to spiritual regions cannot be gained except with the wings of Nam. A Persian poet says, it behooves thee to fly to the higher realms, and that thou canst do with the wings of Nam. And again, if thou wishest union with truth, thou must unite with Nam, i.e. word or the manifested form of truth unmanifested. For therein lies the only possible union with truth. The constant meditation of name means constant companionship with the named. A touch with the divine current purifies a person of all iniquities. All doubts and distractions disappear, and the mind becomes steady and firm, with the result that God's light is reflected therein. If thou wert to cleanse the mirror of thy mind with the sweet remembrance of his name, his glory shall surely shine within thee. Kabir Sahib has beautifully described the value of Nam. Nam may appear but a monosyllable compared with the countless sins that abound. But a little dose of Nam, when taken, reduces the entire garbage to a heap of ashes. And the practice of Nam rubs clean all the mental impurities. For Nam acts as a spark of fire in a powder magazine. By communion with the Nam, one transcends the limitations of the flesh and reaches far beyond the realm of the pairs of opposites. All supernal powers serve but Nam. Blessed with Nam, one becomes the abode of all powers. A contact with Nam assures salvation to all, whether good or bad, learned or unlettered, as the sun and fire give warmth to the light, to all snow and ice give exhilarating freshness. So Nam cannot fail to produce its effect, no matter how the contact may come about, with or without faults. Kajwa Nizam Adin Christi says, the glory of God's Nam has attuned my body and soul. The parched and thirsty get honeyed nectar from it. The various names of God. The sages and the saints have described God in innumerable terms, As, for instance, Swami or Swami, meaning Lord God, Nirala, peerless or without a compeer, Anami, the nameless, Hari Ra, Agam or Alak, the incomprehensible or the ineffable, Ram Ra, Rai, or Sat Purush, the eternal truth or unchangeable permanence, Ekankar, the one life breath or life principle, Purin Chitan, Purush, complete consciousness, Akal, timeless or deathless one. All these are just attributive or qualitative names, names signifying one or another of God's attributes. Such names simply describe any one aspect or facet of God as appealed foremost to someone's individual liking. Thousands of such names appear in the Holy Scriptures. Ram, all-pervading. Rahim, gracious or merciful. Gudhari, encomposing. Murai, Allah, Kuda, Wahiguru, and the like. The Jews call him Wahi or Jehovah, and all these names are worthy of our adoration, for each one of them tries to single out some aspect of the Beloved. I revere each one of thy names, O God, Guru Nanak. What is Naam? We talk and hear a lot about Naam, but never for a moment pause to ponder over what it is and how to gain salvation or nirvana through it. What is that name, the remembrance whereof leads to nirvana? What is that name, the repetition whereof enables a person to cross over the world of sorrow, Guru Tegh Bahadur? In fact, the Lord God is nameless, but we have given him myriads of names. What name can indeed describe the formless and limitless, the incomprehensible, one beyond the grasp of senses and the intellect? Still man has, through the ages, endeavored to put him in the trammels of words and clothe him with epithets just for the sake of expression, and through all combined together, failed hopelessly to do any justice to him. And after all words come from the limited source, they cannot possibly limit the limitless. If all the mountains were pounded into ink powder and mixed with water of the oceans, and pens were made out of all the forest trees, and the entire earth were a sheet of paper, the glory of God, or Naam, or God into expression power, could not even then be described. Sahuj Bahe. All names are thine, and so are all forms thine, but all fail to enumerate thy countless attributes. Thou embracest in thee all powers and potentialities, all riches and treasures, for thou art the prime evil cause, the causeless cause, both material and efficient, the Lord of all. Thy names are numberless. And I'm going to stop there right now. And what I've been reading from is from Master's wonderful book, Naam or Word, and starting from To the Honest Seeker and continuing to What is Naam on page 8. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for reading for us, Rudy. We had 57 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So it is high time for the golden opportunity that we have got to see. We have got the man body for this long, so many years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old sitting. Have you reached God? Well, good. If not, hurry up. So this is the item for that.